It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah! All right, here we go. 5 o'clock hour, fun. Friday. Love that song. I think we have to extend it back out. Might have to work on a new Friday open. There was a build. There was a gleam in my eye with the old style. It was a build with it. We'll see if we can get that done. Not making a request to anyone. It was something I was thinking about.
It's very important.
Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Let's give away some tickets to start the 5 o'clock hour. We got a good show coming to town in the fall. Brooklyn Bowl. Ticketmaster.com is where you can get the tickets for the Dropkick Murphys. Oh, wait. I am rooting for the Celtics. No. But I do like them. And that shipping out to shipping down to Boston. Where is it? What is it?
Shipping out?
Shipping off? Out, I think.
Shipping off to
Is that
Boston?
Forrest Griffin's walkout song?
I believe so.
It's a good fight song.
It's pretty good, yeah. It gets you in the mood. Just have a couple Guinnesses.
Caller 7 right now. Brooklyn Bowl Show. Dropkick Murphys. Ticketmaster.com. 364-1100. 364-1100. If that were a Friday night and you got a text at like 2:30 from a company member like a John Von Tobel, would you write him back and go, you know what, Dropkick Murphys tonight? Did you even write him back?
No,
he texted us today.
You guys were texting as
but you should answer.
I was waiting to see what the plan was.
You guys
are already working on
you
plans.
Have to cover too many sports. Are you available? We need your answer. Okay, I will answer for you. Adam is available, John Von Tobel.
You guys were going back and forth, and this is
there was no back and forth.
Yes, there was. You didn't.
Are you sure?
You didn't both text.
Did I?
And this is what drives me nuts about a group text. You can't like if there's people that are engaging.
So your style is to come in at the end.
It sounds like you guys are trying to figure out a plan.
But John could also be like, only Cofield answered. I'm out.
Oh, then I would say, like, no. I'm here. I'm just waiting for the...
I'm going to be involved. You can hang out with Cofield. It's not going to be that bad.
I'm waiting. It sounded like there was some sort of momentum toward a plan happening. We all get off the air at different places at 6 o'clock. And I figured there would be some sort of coming together of where to go.
All right. I think it might just be you two.
Oh, okay.
But I don't want to say that.
I'll let him know that.
No, it's not decided. I'm on the air. I can't text during the show.
Doing it right now.
No. That's not the case. I was busting chops. Not the case. All right. Matt Neverett is patiently waiting as he's got a baseball game to call, and we're frittering away the time. We're making plans, Matt.
Maybe that's where we'll go.
Yeah. Oh, we could go
hey,
to the.
What's going on, guys?
We could hang out.
Big Dropkick Mercies guy. I have seen them twice over the years, and you're a little directionally challenged, Cofield. It's shipping up to the bottom. They're going upwards.
I knew it. I said down and out, and I got neither one. So, okay. I was wrong. Like Adam said, can we just come over and we'll go to the Aviators game? But we're going to stay in the box. We're just going to watch you guys.
Works for me. There's enough going on for sure. Yeah, I'd be able to keep you guys entertained.
All right. So what do we got cooking this weekend with the Aviators in terms of schedule and promotion? I see a Princess Night. I might have to be there for that. What's happening tonight, tomorrow, Sunday?
Yeah, Princess Night tomorrow. They came up with that one just for you, Cofield. Tonight and the rest of the weekend, taking on the Sugarland Space Cowboys, the Astros AAA affiliate. Tonight, free jersey giveaway to the first 2,000 fans. It's a throwback jersey, but not too far. We're only throwing it back to 2022. It's that orange and yellow gradient jersey, but it does have the number 24 on it. I mean, that's how we know it's not just leftovers from a couple years ago. That's tonight, tomorrow night, Princess Night, and then one of our last day games of the year on Sunday, a noon start, and kids run the bases post-game at all day games here at Las Vegas Ballpark. So it should be fun. The first three games of the series have been interesting, back and forth. The Aviators gave up 20 runs two nights ago, and then last night played the longest game of the season by time in a 10-9 loss, where the Aviators had their most hits in any game this year. So there's been a lot of superlatives going on this week. But yeah, taking on Sugarland tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, league-wide off day Monday, and then they go on the road to El Paso, Texas, to take on the Chihuahuas.
All right, well, what's been cooking on the field with the Aviators, aside from the notes you just mentioned there, in terms of the roster's been changing, or ever-changing, there's been injuries, what's happening?
Yeah, a lot of injuries, a lot of major league rehabbers, especially when it comes to the pitchers. At one point, we had six major leaguers rehabbing on the roster. That number has since dwindled a bit. But, yeah, a lot of ups and downs. A couple of guys getting called up yesterday, including Brady Basso, who's going to make his major league debut. His dad, Mike, played for the Stars, managed the 51s, and is now a scout in the Pirates organization. So he's a really cool story. But as far as the guys that are healthy and are here on the field, Nick Allen, who was optioned down just over 2 weeks ago by the parent Oakland A's, in 12 games since being sent down, responding about as well as you could ask. He's 23 of his first 50, and he's getting on base at a 500 clip exactly. Every time you look up, he's spraying a base hit up the middle and driving in runs. He has been phenomenal. And as I said, the response to getting sent down, something that, you know, everybody keeps an eye on. He was sent down at the same time as Lawrence Butler, and Lawrence starting to get his bat going. And those are the top two hitters in the lineup tonight. Butler leading off, Allen batting second. Those are the two guys that have really, really come on strong, and they both just happen to have been sent down at the same time. They've been leading the offensive charge over the last two calendar weeks.
Matt, I think you misspoke. You said 23 of 50. There's no way that's a real thing.
100%, guys. He is tearing the cover off the ball. Not a lot of home run pop, but at 5'8", like a $160, $170, he's not ever going to have a lot of home run power. The issue for him this year at the major leagues is that he's struggling defensively, which is what he's more known for. When he was in Stockton coming up through the system, the fielding coach there gave him the nickname the Wizard because of his defensive prowess at shortstop. The defense has been back to what we're used to. He's been phenomenal. And, yeah, almost batting 500, and that's in 56 plate appearances. He's gotten on base in exactly half of them.
Why has this series been so wild, by the way? You mentioned the game two nights ago. I was there.
Yeah.
You couldn't keep track of all the guys that were crossing home plate. That was nuts.
Yeah, Sugarland is the top scoring team in minor league baseball, and they're tied for the most wins in all of AAA as well. So we're going against a really, really solid team, especially offensively. In the offensive-centric TCL, their pitching is just all right, but that's all that it needs to be if you've got the bats to back it up. Joey Loperfido, Pedro Leon, and Jesus Bastidas, the top three hitters on Sugarland, and they've all homered this week. It has been really interesting to watch some of these guys, because Sugarland was absolute dead last in the Pacific Coast League last year. Now they're one of the top teams, not only in the PCL, not only at the AAA level, but in all the minor league baseball as a whole.
Matt Neverett on the horn with us. All right, Matt, let's get to a little baseball in about 5 minutes here. Major League Baseball, after we get the Aviators report from you. And again, this weekend, busy weekend, got lots of prize giveaways, so get on out to LV Ballpark. UNLV football schedule, TV side of things comes out. We had the schedule a couple weeks ago. Some changes because of TV, some bumps to Fridays. What do you think? How does that affect the season now? Because obviously Fridays can be a challenge with short weeks, and some of these games are against really good teams.
And, I mean, I'll answer your question with another question, only because you've been tracking this kind of stuff longer. I feel like four Friday games is a ton. Am I right in saying that from a traditional schedule?
I think it is a ton. I don't know if it's a record for UNLV. I feel like 2 years ago they had a lot of them because there were a lot of complaints about, especially the Friday home games, because well, folks in Vegas kind of complain about anything with UNLV games. But yeah, if you win, you solve that. And keep in mind, I don't see a TV listing unless I missed it in the last 4 hours for the Syracuse game, so we actually don't know what's going to happen with that one. That could be a candidate. Yeah, Fridays are a challenge, but for the Mountain West Conference, you know, this is the way of life until things change. This is the way you get on TV. You know, Adam, you said it the other day, right? Like, would you rather be on a Friday night in a potential ISO spot, or maybe there's like four total games, or on a Saturday afternoon where, yes, you can go to the game, but national TV, you might be the 27th game of the time slot at whatever time it is, you know, 1, 3, or 5 o'clock. So, yeah, I think it's a little unusual. It's going to take some work.
I mean, generally speaking, I like the Friday games for exactly that reason. You get the isolated TV coverage, but four of them is interesting, and the time of when some of these Friday games are is really going to be tough, especially that Boise State game, because it is coming off of the only back-to-back weeks where the Rebels will play on the road in succession. So I think that's the biggest one that affects them, is going into that Boise State game, which is going to be a battle of two of the top couple of teams in the conference. So it was a tough game already, magnified even more so by the fact that it's on a Friday coming off of two straight road games.
I think the most exciting of the Friday games is at Kansas, only because isn't it going to be played at the soccer stadium? I think that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I guess the Jayhawks this year playing all their non-con games at the soccer stadium, and then all their conference games at Arrowhead. You know, as much as I am excited to go on that trip anyway, I would have loved to have seen Arrowhead. I don't blame them, though, for not playing at Arrowhead every game. I can only imagine the logistical challenges and the financial strain that would cause on the program.
You can still go make take a tour.
I think I could find a way. Yeah, I mean, as Cofield knows, these football trips, I mean, we get in Friday in the afternoon, we play the game Saturday, usually get out right after the game, so not a ton of time. But I would love to go. That's one of the stadiums across all sports in this country that's on my bucket list.
Let's be honest, this is such a fun broadcaster to travel with. Are you going to check out the stadium early and get a tour, or are you going to be a part of our food podcast? Come on now.
I think I might be contractually obligated to take part in the Broadcaster Bites podcast. I had fun doing it last year when I was engineering some games. But, I've got a pretty refined palate, so I have a pretty good context across the board with all these different areas that the Rebels travel to this year.
Matt's a tough grader.
KC Barbecue.
KC Barbecue. Matt might shred it if we don't pick the right place.
I mean, you know, I went to college in North Carolina at App State. My mom lives in Raleigh, so... Yeah, it's got a lot to live up to for that North Carolina barbecue as well.
Different sauce. And I won't say this in Kansas City, but there are times I like the Carolina sauce better.
Yeah, that is a debate that will rage until the end of time, and that's really the only connection that those two regions have. But if you can have any connection, the barbecue is a pretty good one to have.
Okay, we got to get your take on the Mets and Jorge Lopez and this explosion. I kind of think the Mets are a joke here. I'm not even sure the guy got across what he was trying to say. And do the Mets really believe their mission this year is to try to – they think they're going to win? Well, they're, I don't understand how they're operating.
I mean, you can tell that this team is owned by a guy named Gerry Cohen that has never really run a professional sports franchise at all before because of some of the decisions that were made. And he really – more so than a lot of other owners, has his hand in the roster and the makeup of the team just about day in and day out. Yeah, this is a team that had World Series aspirations before the season and obviously not anywhere close to where they thought they'd be at this point. And with some of the roster moves that they made today, even outside of Lopez, sending down Brett Beatty, who they figure is a big part of their future, along with Christian Scott, who is their best pitching prospect, it tells me they're getting desperate. And I think that this is a team that is going to be impatient. But I think that's going to be their downfall. They're running things a little bit differently than some other teams, and we've seen it not work out so well. And a really, really talented NL East that's got two of the top teams in Major League Baseball in the Phillies and the Braves. But, yeah, Jorge Lopez, I got to give the guy a little bit of slack. I will say, to your point, Steve, I think that his message didn't get across, and he basically confirmed that as much on social media after the fact. You got to remember, too, he's got a son that's terminally ill, and he's waiting for a liver transplant, and this is... You know, just an example of you got to remember that these guys have lives outside of the game. For him, the moment overwhelmed him. He made a dumb decision. I think his lack of regret in the immediate aftermath of him saying as much, that was a message that he got across real clear. It was ultimately the reason that he was designated for assignment. But somebody will take a shot on him. He is too talented to not be on a major league roster. I already saw a graphic. Welcome to your newest Los Angeles Dodger. I wouldn't be surprised to see him and Dodger do it all.
Matt Nevert's with us. Voice of the Aviators, voice of UNLV football. Listen, Ronald Acuna, that's a terrible loss. He's such an impactful player. But I do believe the Braves win. I believe the Braves can win the World Series, and now they're 8-1 to win the series. Terrible bet?
I don't hate the bet, especially because that's actually a good number. I was looking earlier. I saw South Point had him at 6-1, and there's something like 3-1 to win the National League. So if you can get it at 8-1, that's actually a pretty good number on the Bravos. I will say that there are people that are saying that Philadelphia or bust in the National League. They are a really talented team. They are top five in just about all the important offensive and defensive team statistics at this point. However, the schedule, a lot has been made about it, but they have played such a soft schedule at this point. It gets infinitely harder in the second half, and they've played the Braves a ton down the backstretch of the season. I wouldn't be surprised, though, guys, to see not only the National League champion, but a world champion come out of that NL East. But, of course, you've got to keep an eye on the Dodgers. I'm really excited about what Baltimore is doing. You can get them at 10-1 to win the World Series, and I think if they're in a position to make a move at the deadline, that they'll be really aggressive and give up, you know, whatever they need to make a run for it this year because of how deep their farm system is. And then there's the Yankees. Bronx bombing their way to a division lead right now, and they've done it with just that. The power, and Aaron Judge tied for the Major League lead in home runs. Those are kind of the teams, in my mind, that really are the only ones that have a shot to win everything this year.
Matt, we appreciate it. Remind people where they can hear the games this weekend and also, even better, how to get out to the park and get tickets.
Yeah, aviatorslv.com. You can get your tickets there. Really cheap, family affordable, free parking no matter where. So that's another bonus that doesn't always get advertised as much. At aviatorslv on social. Raider Nation Radio, AM 920, the station, the Las Vegas Sports Network as well. You can find all that info at aviatorslv.com. And throw me a follow while you're at it, at Matt Neverett on just about everything. Somehow I was able to kill for that before the masses got a hold of that handle.
Nice. All right, Matt. We'll talk to you, buddy.
Absolutely. Anytime. Appreciate you guys.
Yes?
I mean, I was going to say it's a great time. It's fun to go out there.
I wanted to follow up, finish up, but I wanted to follow up on Lopez. I thought you were going to follow up on that, but go ahead.
No. I was going to say, he's talking about, you know, going to the games. It's a great value. A couple times in the last couple weeks, I've just, you know, been out with some friends just out at, like, in downtown Summerlin and been like, let's go over to the game. Let's just buy tickets late and go in. It's a good time.
So back to Lopez, and I know my question probably sounded weird. Like, do the Mets actually think they're going to win? I'm sure most people are like, of course. Well, you know, what do the players want? Well, I remember stuff. And I remember telling everyone last year that there was a story that came out, a line that came out that I thought was utterly ridiculous. And it was, you remember when Max Scherzer got traded, right? And the Mets are like, all right, we're out, right? That's the tap-out sign. Scherzer said, and this was widely reported, that the GM told him, we're resetting, and 2025 is our goal. I remember saying on the air, I'm like, that is stupid. If they said that, that's ridiculous. That will not fly in New York. But I think a lot of fans at the time were like, you know what? Let's do the right thing. Get the prospects. 2024 might not be our year. And then you, of course, you go through a winter, you come out in spring, and everyone's like, yeah, 90 wins, let's go. What's the mission? I thought there were reports that they were resetting. Yeah. That this year wasn't supposed to be about winning. But I also, like I said, I remember at the time saying, Mets fans are not going to tolerate that. That's a stupid notion. They're not that far away. They have good prospects. Those guys are going to develop. Their bullpen has been a disaster. Edwin Diaz has not come back and been the same guy. I hope he doesn't go down for a long time. That's a fantasy wish. But he just hasn't been good. The other guys haven't been good. So they've blown so many freaking leads. I think they've been really odd with their pitching staff, where they're getting guys back, and then they force them back in. Meanwhile, I don't know how to – is it Jose Buto? Whatever, I love calling him Jose Butto. And Christian Scott have both pitched well. Butto, his control wasn't great the last couple times out. They sent him down. Both guys are down again. So right now it's like, wait, you're cutting Lopez, and – not cut it. Yeah, they cut Lopez.
Yeah.
And then you send young pitchers down. What are we doing? Now or win for the future? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, the beauty of baseball is that you can develop guys that aren't at the major league level.
Oh, they sent Brett Beatty down.
Yeah.
And I guess the notion there is he's not playing that well. They have someone else who can play the position, so let's let him get more playing time at AAA.
Right.
I can buy that. With the pitchers, I don't exactly buy it. But, you know, here's the other thing with that organization. They are so, and it's not the same management at all, but they are so battle-scarred from past pitching prospects flaming out because they threw them for 5,000 innings early in their career. I think now they're like, we're just going to baby everyone. Like, Christian Scott ain't throwing more than 67 pitches. So they're like, oh, he's getting too much work up here. We'll send him down where we can manage him and only pitch him for 4 innings and 3 innings. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of it, but it's – that is also when you don't have a full commitment to developing. If that is what you want to do. We talk about it in other sports all the time. Baseball is different because you can't develop guys when they're not in the major league roster. But
you can't do it in New York unless you have the stones, and you got to stick to it.
Yeah.
But they got Mets fans all hyped up.
And honestly, we said it
before. New York fans are some of the least nuanced fans in all of this nation. They believe that they're top of the heap. They're not.
Yeah.
They're kind of gullible, dopey, and really then get hooked by inflammatory stuff. Headlines, and they buy, you know, you can change them in 2 weeks. It's also why there's so many fans around New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut who believe, like, you know, you want to do the impression?
Which one?
The whole, you know, you win here, you can win anywhere. It's the Mecca.
It's not.
Well, it can be if players want to, but there's also a lot of situations where players are like, yeah, I don't want to live there. Sucks. Or I don't want to play for that owner, Jimmy Dolan. Sucks.
Yeah, I think that's fair too. There's a lot of it.
Joe, our guy Joey Gallo went there. They tortured him. He said, "You're torturing me," and they're still torturing him. He's not even there.
True.
The other day, the story about Gallo being possibly the father of this kid that Mark Davis was reported to be the baby daddy. And then New York Post has a headline like, "Failed Yankee slugger is the father." Like, it's been 2 years. Enough. I get very worked up about this. I'm very protective of my guy.
Of course. But, I think it just goes
back to... I hope I'm the godfather if this is the case.
I think it just goes back to the part of trying to develop and trying to win for the future. The biggest thing that goes wrong with that, the biggest reason teams fail is not being fully committed or not sticking to it or not having the courage to say, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is our plan. And they try to deviate from it. And I think it's what the Raiders have been stuck in for a long time. So people around here have kind of been able to see that.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Big second quarter for Jackie Young and the Aces. She had 10. Aces are now at the half, leading the Dream, laying 8.5, 34-28. That's not an in-game number. That was the pregame number, 8.5. 34-28 over Atlanta. You can go hang around the Aces fans and enjoy happy hour at Husong's Cantina in Boca Park. Enjoy the happy hour and the food specials.
Let's see if I can...
Good stuff.
As soon as the show's over, I might be able to make it for the end of the game over there.
I think we're setting up a date with John Von Tobel.
Tell him to go there.
We'll see. There could be a 7 o'clock happy hour somewhere. Or we might just stay here. This is a great spot.
It is.
They've got the Reuben and a Guinness special. Free parking. They've got the fish and chips and Alaskan special. Mm. Yes. Mm, yes. Yes. The mini pork bites. New addition to the menu. And two different kinds of loco moco. And much more beyond that. We have people on the show who love the chicken salad. I am a big fan of the Southpaw tendas. Those are chicken fingers. They're dynamite. Get on down here.
Sound dynamite.
Yes. Do they? When I said paw?
Yeah.
Southpaw. I'm just holding off to not get super sad on the air. The fight of all fights, a dream matchup. 57-year-old Mike Tyson out.
Yeah, sad.
We saw him at an airport the other day in a wheelchair. It's like, hey, he's got ulcer flare-up. Doesn't have anything to do with boxing. What's going on here? Canceled?
Well, he's not going to be able to train. It's kind of an important part of
how
fighting.
Long does it take? I don't have an ulcer. Maybe I will. I get agita every day on this. No. Maybe there's a pretty good recovery period on that. We're not doctors. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. What it sounds like from the announcement from the promotion, they're just going to try to push it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, they said it's not fair if they announce the fight as on the same date and Mike Tyson is not allowed to train for the next couple weeks while Jake Paul is training. So they're going to put it at a time when they can both have a full training camp and equal training camp and then be able to fight. I mean, I think the translation is they're not fighting. But for right now, it's been postponed indefinitely until such time as they can both have a full training camp.
Someone tweet at us, at Adam Hill, LVRJ, at Steve Cofield. I will do research after this. I don't have time to do it now while we're live on the air. Has anyone in the audience had an ulcer flare-up? It doesn't sound good, and it doesn't sound good if it's on a plane.
Yeah, I'd be uncomfortable. Sounds like it would hurt. Might like a really bad stomach ache.
It might be worse than that. Mike Tyson's a pretty tough guy.
He's old.
He's not that much older than I am. Well, probably a little healthier, too.
Well,
a little.
You don't have ulcer flare-ups.
I might. I've treated this whole thing like a temple.
I don't know if ulcer has to do with age, either. Could be young.
I don't think so. No, I think anyone can get them.
Yeah. It sounds exactly what people thought when this fight was announced. Something ridiculous is going to happen. Oh, Mike Tyson has an ulcer. Like, that sounds like exactly what everybody expected, but you just hope Mike can start training. I know some people that are very sad about this.
For Mike or the fight on July 20th?
I know one person in particular. I know several, come on, my group texts are just blowing up, like, this sucks. We wanted to watch this fight. Like, I can't believe people were that into it.
I was.
But one of my friends that I'm going on vacation with that weekend was, we've literally been looking at trying to find a sports bar in the beach town we're going to. Like, where? Who's going to show this?
Yep.
We've been emailing people, like, where can we watch this?
We talked about it 45 minutes ago about the challenge of the NFL and Netflix having a deal. Wait, so you wanted to watch, you're wanting to watch something on July 20th. You're going to be on the road, and it's not even June 1st, and you are doing research.
Yeah.
If the event is going to be on. It's 6 weeks away. Well, you're doing research.
It's hard.
You're doing research now to find out if a match is airing. That's quite diligent of you.
I know. Well, it's a concern because it's very
you
tough to
watch
find. It's tough to find, especially you don't know what it's going to be. It might be on regular TV in Mexico. I don't know. We sent a few emails out. We're trying to hear back from some of the spots. But yeah,
Do they have books down there?
They do. They do. But
they'll
I'm
have
not
it
sure
on.
Where. Yeah, but I mean, we don't.
They don't. I mean, we talked here about. In the United States, if you start jerking around with Netflix and using your personal account and then beaming it to 30 TVs, you might get caught and there's going to be a big fine. You think in Mexico they're like, we got to worry about those fines?
No.
I mean, I would assume that like a lot of places used to have here, that a lot of the places there still have an old school satellite where you can pick up anything.
I think they probably do, actually.
Yes, yes. What's the big book down there? Or are there multiple now?
Caliente,
yep. Yeah. You love those books.
I do. I know. I mean, I actually don't, because every time you win, you have to pay a tax on it. Yeah.
Okay.
It makes it very, very difficult to actually win.
So we really didn't get to react yesterday to Hard Knocks. It's going to be Chicago. The more I thought about it, the more I've listened to some other people talk about it, I'm really excited. I think it could be really good.
Of course.
I heard an Andrew Siciliano. You know him, right?
Sure.
He wasn't guaranteeing it, but he said...
Didn't he leave a mug at our set at the Super Bowl?
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
He believes that in the opening montage, before they hit the hard-charging music, that they will have Caleb Williams at a nail salon getting his nails done.
I mean, I think... I was thinking...
Robert Turbin, who was doing the show on Sirius XM, was like, oh, he's like, I can't believe you went there. I'm like, that kind of makes sense. It's almost too obvious.
I mean, I it's funny. I mean, I literally was thinking about it yesterday. I mean, it's going to be part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, when is it going to be part of the show?
Yep.
Like, that, to make it go that early, okay, that'd be interesting. But I think at some point it's definitely, like, it's a story. I'm sure it's something he'll be open about and talk about. And, you know, I don't know why it's a story. It's silly that it's a story. But, yeah, I'm sure, go to wherever he goes.
Best behind-the-scenes NFL series upcoming. 1, Hard Knocks preseason Bears. 2, I'm not ranking them. It's your choice. New York Giants offseason Hard Knocks, which I believe you had a question yesterday. I believe, not confirmed, but I believe they're still taping.
Nice.
Which means that if they want to, the Darren Waller song could be part of offseason Giants Hard Knocks.
It should be the opening theme.
Hard Knocks in season 2024. Are you excited about that one?
I'm excited about all of them. I would say.
Do you know what is featured in season Hard Knocks 2024?
For some reason, Dolphins popped in my head, but they were last year.
We're hearing it won't be one team.
It will be a
division.
That's right.
To be announced.
Love it. Love that.
What division?
Well, hopefully AFC West, but I think it would be.
You know what it's going to be.
What, and AFC East?
Yes.
They did Dolphins last year, though.
And they did Jets. The Jets.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that.
I don't think they can get enough of it. The only problem is Patriots will suck, but following the Patriots sucking will be kind of cool.
I think
I'm not rooting for the Patriots, but as a guy, as a head coach, we can root for it.
I think I'd prefer AFC North.
How much? Well, you don't dislike Belichick, right?
No.
How amazing would it be if this team bounces back the next year and they're like a 9-win team?
It'll be tough. It's not out of the question.
I mean, it would mean that probably Drake May is the best quarterback in the class. He's awesome right out of the gates.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be the starter. So, or Jacoby Brissett just plays at a really high level.
What other division?
AFC North.
Yeah, it could be a good one. Won't be AFC South. Won't be NFC South.
No. Although, behind the scenes on Penix and Cousins could be interesting.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield's a good character.
And your fourth option is wide receiver.
Yeah, that's right? I mean, that's the one.
It was quarterback last year on Netflix. Now they're following. Do we know the receivers?
Devontae's one.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was like an inside scoop or anything.
No.
They're going to feature receivers from around the NFL.
Yeah.
These all sound great. I do have to say, though. Yeah, the Dolphins in season was pretty good.
Yeah.
The Jets preseason, even though it was I enjoyed it because it was the Jets, but it wasn't good. And Aaron Rodgers had way too much control.
Yeah, I would think so. It's Devontae, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and a non-receiver, George Kittle.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know.
Like, the other receivers on...
I think because they were already doing Deebo Samuel. So, like, we already have the cameras here anyway.
Ah, okay. What are we...
When is this coming out?
Though? Budget?
It's just summer. I'm that's number one. And I'll say exactly why my rankings are my rankings. It goes wide receiver is one.
Giants
is two.
Yep.
Then Bears is three. And then in-season is four. And it's only because that's the order they're coming out. Like, I'm just excited to see them.
But you can't watch these on YouTube. So you do have to watch other channels.
I got Netflix.
Right.
And Max. Although, I was infuriated last night clicking on a Max.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know what's on there.
Well,
I told you, I have no idea what's on anywhere.
I went to watch an old episode of Real Sports.
Don't get me started on this.
Only the past season is on there.
Outrageous.
It's
what the F
absolutely
are we, what
ridiculous.
Are we paying for?
Right,
I had this experience, too. I was outraged.
It makes no sense.
Like, if you have a channel with basically unlimited library space and we're paying for it, yes, I would go back and watch every Real Sports from the beginning, probably in order.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to watch one in particular last night, and no surprise. I wanted to watch the Darren Waller one again to see how we got from his Hard Knocks, which is one of the – or not his Hard Knocks, his Real Sports episode, which was just an incredible profile on him and what he's done, not only in recovery, but in the community.
Are you going to stand up?
No.
What's wrong with you?
I do love that song. It's fantastic.
Your favorite national anthem is the Canadian national anthem.
It's a very good song.
I saw the Levitard stole your bit, you know, about 10 years after you started doing it. They had a poll question last week, something about how much do you love the Canadian anthem, or do you like it more than the U.S. anthem. So, it's very uplifting. I personally enjoy the Filipino anthem.
A great Levitard video dropped last night.
What was it?
They sent a camera crew to Naked City Pizza.
Oh, that's right. They're behind the scenes. They were all about that. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And Chris over there deserves it. If they should go anywhere, he is a super fan of Levitard and Company. And
they They talked about that being there. Which was cool. But yeah, Canadian National Anthem is awesome.
You gonna do it?
No. True North?
Who is the singer? She's pretty good.
Selena Ray.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah, my reference to the Filipino National Anthem was all the Pacquiao fights I covered in person. It's pretty uplifting. I don't know what's going on in the song, but you could just tell it.
I don't think she knows this song.
Do you think she's going to botch the U.S. anthem?
Doing the U.S. anthem. She looked like she was kind of confused on how to start it.
It's not an easy song to do.
No, it's also not a good song.
Is this guy standing for the anthem? Did he stop for the anthem?
No, I think he's looking at his phone.
Yeah. You know, I was like to... Remember when it was like really heated? Over Kaepernick?
Oh, yeah.
And then every time I was at a restaurant, I would take a video of everyone just sitting there. Like, no one stands up. I stand up every time at a restaurant.
Where's the respect?
Actually, I got to get up. So you can tell the hockey game is about to start. Edmonton and Dallas. Before we get to the grab bag, and I feel like we have a lot of unfinished business to hit in the grab bag, and we're live here at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. I played nice. This is not difficult for me because I do watch a lot of TV. It's how I kind of wind down at the end of most nights. I played nice. I watched a couple episodes of your show, Tires, with that Shane Gillis guy. I will probably bang through the rest of it this weekend.
Watch his special, too.
Can I throw something at you? And I don't know if you'll make it through it, but I find it a fascinating concept.
Is it on YouTube?
And it's no, it's on Netflix. It is a roller coaster ride. But one of these celebrity chefs that I find most intriguing, and I think him sitting down, it would be very 50-50, because I've heard things about him that sometimes he's not the nicest guy, but everything I've seen, he seems cool, is David Chang.
Sure.
Right? He's a Momofuku guy, and I think they just wrapped up. They were doing a live cooking show with two people sitting there eating the food. And you basically, he just cooks, he's talking, and it's really their job, the people who are the guests, to make it interesting. Like, they can sit there and just eat, and no one talks, because he can only talk so much. I mean, you can't make a burger or steak. Can you imagine the stress that you feel? And this guy's making like a world class meal. So that's the concept. And then every episode's live, and I think they just 16 are in the can now. And there's been some that I laugh out loud. It's funny, but it's all on the people who are eating. And to my knowledge, 99.9% of them, I'll say 99% of them are comedians. Bill Simmons is on it. He's not a comedian. No. But he's friends with lots of comedians. And Simmons was on, and it was another one of those moments I'm like, David Chang likes Bill Simmons too?
Everybody likes Bill
Simmons. I've never gotten it. But it was, that episode, if I'm correct, was Chang cooking. It's his show. He cooks. They're also getting feedback from the internet as it goes along, and people are like, oh, let me see that food again. Can we, you know, zoom in on the gravy over there? It was Simmons, Bert Kreischer, and Chang. And it started out, it was like, actually, that one was pretty good from beginning to end, except when Simmons talked and ruined it. Although I did not know that Simmons was half Italian. So he brought, like, his mom's meatballs, and they I think they lied. They said it was good, but Maniscalco was on, and you could see the first 15 minutes, he's like, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, he didn't know what to do. But then as it went along and he felt more comfortable, and then there was a back and forth, it was awesome. But all it is comedians.
Okay.
I don't know if you'll make it through an episode. Because here's the thing. You saw, I was rodding up strong at Super Bowl Radio Row when we had a chance to talk to the chefs.
Sure. You love that.
I love them. I get a kick out of them. They're, you know, the fact that they've become stars is crazy to me. Yeah. And it's just like a lot of like history of food stuff. And then you find out, like, I was watching Terry Crews was on one night, and he like really likes cooking. But then he talked about like never eating because he's like 60 and, yeah, you know, he's all jacked up.
Yeah. I watch a lot of things that comedians do. I'm pretty big stand-up comedy nerd, and I know,
but this is live, and they have, like, it's just like whatever's happening they got to react to. And sometimes there was one on the other night and I'm like, boy, this is rough. And then there were moments where I really laughed, like Natasha Leggero was on, but I think she was half in the bag. And then some Aussie lady was on, but she was such a smart ass, she kept derailing everything with smart remarks. And then they both started hammering Chang because he's also very self-deprecating in terms of, as he makes the meal, he's like, this isn't what I wanted. It sucks. I didn't do this right. And this lady just started, like, just hammering him. And then finally it got kind of funny at the end. But watching live TV like that, where it's a free-for-all, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, Derek had asked me for my current list of top, I think, 8 or 10.
Yeah, what was the Rhino on
Twitter? Followed up,
Derek,
he followed up again.
He's listed your top 8 comedians. I'm like, why 8?
Yeah. I think I'm going to do 10. I'm working on
really?
The list. Yeah, I'm working on the list.
Okay. Can you release the list next week on the show?
Well, put it out on Twitter and then can...
I'll never see it. I don't follow you.
That's fair. We saw his tweet.
Who's on the back end of a top 10? Do you have any females in the top 10?
Stay tuned. It's possible.
Is Nikki Glaser good enough?
No.
She's on this Chang show.
I will say
that episode.
The most likely female comedian to be on the list is actually the comedian who wrote Nikki Glaser's set.
Oh, really?
At the roast.
I didn't know that Glaser had a writer.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I'm not thinking of anyone.
No, she's not.
Not well known?
She's not extremely well known. That's why she was the writer and Nikki Glaser performed it.
Hmm. Now I'm intrigued. Now the audience is intrigued. Now they got to wait this weekend.
There you go.
Get on out of here. Got the games on. Edmonton and Dallas, a couple minutes in, scoreless. watching Major League Baseball, or the minor league baseball, check that, college baseball on a little earlier. Free parking at Treasure Island. You can hang out at the Cove Bar and Arcade. Newest piece of the property. And, of course, Gillies. Love Honky Tonk. Only Honky Tonk Saloon on the Vegas Strip. And right here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. We told you about some of the specials earlier. Get in here. 55-plus TVs and all the sports action you want. And they got a sportsbook and the kiosk so you can bet 24/7.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
All right, Adam, UFC is this weekend. What's going to happen in that Poirier fight?
I think he's going to be in real trouble.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I mean, he's a big underdog. I know.
Says one of the his most name. Heavily bet props is Poirier by KO plus 650 against Makhachev?
Yeah. Don't see that happening. No. But, I know Dustin Poirier is probably the bigger name. More people probably know who he is. Makhachev, a massive favorite for a reason. Looks like
coming down, right?
About 650 right now.
Wow.
There's some $6. There's minus 550 just popped on the screen. So you could get that. But you would expect most of the money to be on the underdogs. So you would expect the number to come down. I don't think anybody's out there, trying to lay $6 on a UFC fight.
No. Not going to happen.
Still can't believe Floyd Mayweather was less of a favorite at close.
In the boxing match against Conor.
Over Conor than this.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I'm going to mention this. I have a feeling I know what's going to happen. I will possibly defend the person. Drew Brees has been making the rounds and made the statement that he would love to broadcast NFL games again. Quote, I think I could be the best at it. No Conflict Friday. You're finally sinking in. If you don't have anything nice to say,
don't say
anything at all.
I guess that's the competitiveness in him. But
I still believe that he was never coached. He never had instructions. I think a lot of times, guys, I don't care what they say about. Hey, we did some tests. I don't know. Maybe this is disrespectful, and I don't believe they're coached. But the flip side of it could be maybe he didn't take to coaching, which, as a former athlete, you should. You're not an expert at this.
Hey, talk about what you see. Nice play. No, describe it. He threw a pass. Okay.
So you don't think he can be the best?
No, I don't. Okay.
I'm going to do this. I think this deserves more time. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Did you see that the lady at LV Locally tweeted out, country singer Jason Aldean is building a 10,000-square-foot country music bar on the Strip. My first thought was, wait a second, I thought he was never allowed back here. This is Dana White's town. Because remember, sure. Aldean, after October 1, didn't want to come back for a fight card, 4 months later, right, to sing the national anthem at the UFC, and then he popped up on SNL.
It was the week later.
Oh, it was a week later?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, that was pretty sure.
The story was that he wanted, because he was on the stage when the shooting happened.
Right.
Dana White wanted him to sing the national anthem, which they don't do at UFC events.
Mm.
He wanted him to do it as a special thing.
Right.
Hey, this is the first sporting event in Vegas. Come by, sing the anthem. It would be a really cool moment for the same guy. And he said, I'm busy. I can't do it. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's right.
And then ended up being on SNL that night.
That night, yeah. I will tell you, and we'll have to hit on this again next week, and threads don't really indicate anything, but the reaction to that bar was not good coming out of the gates, because I also forgot about that small town song where he went all tough guy,
yeah.
And a lot of people took an insult, thought he was taking a shot at Vegas.
Sure.
So I wish him luck.
I don't think he was.
I don't believe that's everyone.
Why.
Well, the tone and theme of the song was stupid.
Of course. Incredibly.
Let's not flex your muscle and be a tough guy when we know that is kind of in question. Please. Thanks to the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. By the way, I like his music. Not that song. Appreciate them hosting the show today. For Griffin back on the board, great job by James. We'll see you.